Since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false, and their judgment inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being self-sufficient, is full of transcendental bliss, Atmaram. He enjoys bliss in two ways, when He appears happy and when He appears distressed. Distinctions and contradictions are impossible in Him because only from Him have they emanated. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is His reservoir of all knowledge and potency and strength, opulence and influence. There is no limit of His powers. Since He is full in all transcendental attributes, nothing abominable from the material world can exist in Him. He is transcendental and spiritual, and therefore conceptions of material happiness and distress do not apply to Him. We should not be astonished to find contradictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are no contradictions. That is the meaning of His being supreme, because He is all-powerful. He is not subject to the conditioned soul's arguments regarding His existence or non-existence. He is pleased to protect His devotees by killing their enemies. He enjoys both the killing and protecting. Such freedom from duality applies not only to the Lord, but also to His devotees. In Vrindavan, the Them-Self of Rajabhumi enjoy transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and they feel the same traditional bliss in separation when Krishna and Balaram leave Vrindavan for Mathura. There is no question of material pains or pleasures for either the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His pure devotees, although they are sometimes specifically said to be distressed or happy. One who is Atmaram is blissful in both ways. Non-devotees cannot understand that contradictions present in the Supreme Lord or His devotees. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. The transcendental pastimes can be understood through devotional service. To non-devotees, they are inconceivable. Achintya kalo jebhava natam strakheya jojejat. The Supreme Lord and His form, name, pastimes and paraphernalia are inconceivable to non-devotees. And one should not try to understand such realities simply by logical arguments. They will not bring one to the right conclusion about the absolute truth. Translation one more time. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are conceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false and their judgment inconclusive because they have no authorities evidence which to gain knowledge of you. because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You're one without a second, and therefore in your contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like, with the help of that potency, what is impossible for you. Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasaja Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Devotees from Andhra Pradesh left already. They asked me if they can be present for the beginning of the class, although they don't understand English, but they really wanted to see. And so I want to thank them very much for coming today and being a little time with us because they have a very tight schedule. So, as I said, it's very long verse, but it's very nice for us to follow and to recognize the right way of approaching transcendental truth, of approaching the Lord, and in generally, you know, it's what is the right culture. You see, in Christianity, in different religions also, usually people remember the God when they have stress, when they have serious condition in their life, when they're in problem, when they're in trouble, when they're, you know, either their health is ruined or somebody else's health is, or some serious situation is happened. And then, you know, in Catholicism, for example, they try to implement a little bit more regular, they're telling people, okay, you should come one time per week in church, and please, you know, just you need to convey yourself, you need to tell what you did wrong last week, and then everything will be forgiven, it's fine. So you go inside of one room and you start talking about what? About yourself. Look, I did this and that, but I also did this and this, not that bad, but you know, please forgive me. This is our prayer, this is our way of approaching the God, this is our way of not even approaching the God, we are preaching to priest, and our faith usually when we have such approach is very weak and it's very limited. And actually the right approach is by knowing God and glorifying Him. Even when you approach to some senior devotee, to some senior personality, we cannot approach immediately just by a request. We should approach first with praise and glorification to be able to please the person, and then after that to present what is our problem. So regarding when we are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes even demigods are in that situation that they have difficulty, and then they approach for help to Narayan usually. So you all know, and you went through this in the previous days, that King Indra, he killed the Vishwarup, he cut all three of his heads, and therefore the Vishwarup's father, he performed the yagya to kill Indra. Basically, he didn't perform direct yagya to kill Indra, he performed yagya to invite the enemies of Indra. The enemies of Indra to come and to kill him. So ultimately he was hoping that Indra will be finished on the end, because Indra killed his son. Then what's happened was something that even happened to, you know, such demigods and special souls. They didn't perform yagya very well, they didn't pronounce mantras in the proper way, Actually, there is explanation that one mantra, they slow it a little bit down. They just pronounce a little bit too long. And instead of inviting the enemy of Indra, they invite the person that Indra is actually his enemy. And ultimately, Indra will be the tool of you know, conquering him on the end. Do you know his name? Yes. So, Indra and demigods had the big problem because through Yagya, one great personality came who originally they believe it's a demon, but actually, you know, in the end we find out that he's not a demon, that he's actually, he was devotee also, devotee of Supreme Personality of the Godhead. And there is explanation that Ritasura, he was of the blackish body with some copper color mustache and eyebrows, and he was very furious, and they're saying he was growing every single day, his body was growing and growing more and more, and in one moment they figure out he's going to conquer the whole universe. It's finished, we are all finished, we are all done. So they try, you know, demigods, they have very special weapons, they have all these, you know, even science fiction movies, they still cannot really decorate that much their movies, because their imagination doesn't go that far away to imagine weapons which demigods has, which also demons has. There are very special mantras, balls, some super fast, you know, I mean, I cannot conceive in my mind, but something really, really powerful. But what's happened? When they send their, you know, they tried to kill Vitrasura, he just took all their weapons and he ate it. Finish. Then they figure out that they cannot do anything against him. It's not possible. He's so powerful. So, of course, the last option always, when you cannot solve the problem, there is somebody who can solve the problem. They went to Narayan. And then, because Indra and demigods, they know how to approach properly Lord, they start praising the Lord. They start telling his glorification. They start telling the nice things. They start glorifying the pastimes of the Lord and his eternal qualities. And ultimately, the Lord Narayan said, okay, now I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with all your prayers. Please tell me how I can help you, how I can serve you. And they give them the good received how to defeat Ritasura. Even he was not engaged directly. He was engaged indirectly on the end, but he told them actually to whom they should approach, what they're supposed to do to be able to defeat Ritasura on the end. And they did it. What is very important here in this verse is actually there is explanation that Krishna is equal in happiness and distress. It's very important for us. You see, the life is meant of even scientists, although we have here explanation of Srila Prabhupada and his opinion about scientists are very clear. You know? Actually, he mentioned one time in Vrindavan, 1977, his last year, you know, he told few devotees in the room, I came here for two reasons. One first reason is to establish Krishna as Supreme Personality of the Godhead. And the second reason is to put down all these stupid scientists. And then he explained that he doesn't mean that all scientists are stupid. Just those who believe that Krishna is not a God or that God doesn't exist, they are quite stupid, because ultimately they're stealing knowledge from God, but they don't want to accept the person who created the whole knowledge, the person who's sitting behind the knowledge. They are recognizing the different rules and regulations in the nature, but they don't want to recognize who created the whole thing. They want to recognize that some higher intelligence creates all that around us. And this is why we can call them stupid. Because the basic principles they don't recognize. Same like allopathic and Ayurvedic medicine and homeopathic medicine. You know, allopathic medicine is medicine which doesn't cure the cause of disease. It cures the final stage, maybe. It could cure, it could help. But then you eat one medicine, you cure one, you create three new diseases. It's always, you know, rapidly spreading in a way, because instead of going from the base towards top, we try to figure out stop and go in the opposite direction. Sometimes is fine when it's really emergency, but in general you have much better. You need to cure the root of disease, not just physical disease, but also mental and any other. So the point is that very important for us is to understand that that Krishna is same in distress and happiness. He doesn't differentiate those two. For him, he is behaving the same way when he's distressed and happiness, because ultimately they're not different. They're not different. Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times that devotees should not be super happy. You should not have this material kind of happiness when like a lotto, you get $1 million, then suddenly you're happy. Why you're happy? What's changed? We're still all gonna die one day. We still have to live. You cannot stop problems coming with $1 million. It's not possible. Those who has that, they understand, they know that very well, you know. I spoke a few times with some very rich people and they told me, you think I don't have problems? You know? First problem is when you don't have money. Then you come to position where, okay, it's not that I don't have money, but it's not also that I have money. And then you come to a position where you have a lot of money. Then you have to protect the money, because money is losing value every day. That means you need to invest, you need to start doing businesses, because every day your value of that money is losing. So you're in stress again. Accumulating material possessions creates stress. So the point is that our it's not possible to make life without stress if we don't include Krishna consciousness as the main principle in the life. That's not possible. It's not possible to have peace until we don't put Krishna in the center. That's also not possible. We can create the temporary peace, but that peace doesn't last for so long. Unless Krishna is not in the center, there is no peace, because he is the source of peace. He is the source of happiness. Krishna said that devotees should be happy, but there is exactly a recipe how devotee can be happy. Once we become to the platform that we are detached from all material possessions, from all illusionary toys around us, offerings, from all material love, from all different things that cause stress, then this is just the glimpse of the happiness. But this is the good start of developing the pure relationship with Krishna, the pure relationship with Lord. This is the good start of developing love towards Him. And only through Bhava Bhakti, through love towards Krishna, we can achieve happiness really. There is no other way. But to be able to achieve happiness, we need to be regulated. And we have to believe. You know, sometime we lose the faith. Sometime we don't believe as much as we thought we're going to believe the whole our life. The belief is gone. And then we don't know what to do. Many things happened after Srila Prabhupada left the planet in 1977. There were many of his disciples, who were actually more connected with Srila Prabhupada than with his instruction and Krishna ultimately himself. When Srila Prabhupada left, they felt so much emptiness in their heart that they could not exist in Krishna consciousness anymore, because Srila Prabhupada was everything for them. Srila Prabhupada was Krishna consciousness. But they didn't took that part of Srila Prabhupada which Srila Prabhupada want us to take. That means his instruction, his books. They took his personal presence on the planet as the main principle, without whom they could not exist inside of spiritual life. That spiritual life cannot exist at all. So there is one story I remember. There was the Gaura Prabhu, his disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned, and Ramapad Maharaj had in his computer, I was reading, it was very interesting. There was the first sannyasi in France was Pritaputa Swami. He got sannyas during Srila Prabhupada's time, and he was serving very eagerly, and he did many great services, you know, different thing in preaching mission in France in the beginning. And after Srila Prabhupada left, he left the Krishna consciousness. He could not, you know, extend his presence, Krishna consciousness, and then he just left and he started with his old habits as before, you know. He started taking drugs, he started having different things. Devotees who saw him, they saw different activities which he were performing. And he was going in his life like that for several years until he didn't find out that he got AIDS. And he ended up in the hospital. So the disease was progressing more and more, and he came to the stage that there was no hope. He has to leave his body. And the doctors who were there, they were shocked. The one day when they were sure that he's going to leave his body, he was not moving. He was just lying on the bed. And it was ready. They were prepared. Suddenly, one moment, during the morning doctor's visit, he jumped from the bed. He sat straight and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, you came for me." And doctors was confused. They were watching what's going on. And then he lied down. And within a few minutes, he left his body. Within a few minutes. And that was kind of very shocking situation. So even if we lose faith sometime, Krishna and spiritual master never lose faith in us. Never. Once mercy is given, is not taken anymore. So you see, the point is that actually we are quite fortunate souls. We are very fortunate. We are very fortunate to be part of this moment. We are very fortunate to learn from all, you know, we are very fortunate that in our lifetime, most of us, I don't know, maybe some young devotees are here, but, you know, many of our lives, that Srila Prabhupada was still present on the planet. Some of us are very fortunate that they saw personally Srila Prabhupada. They had association of Srila Prabhupada. We are fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here just 500 years ago. You can still feel the smell of his lotus feet walking around with all 32 special signs on his feet. You can still taste the dust, touch the dust where he was walking around. Each and every piece of land here that we are eagerly trying to occupy with all our buildings and everything around, each and every piece of land is full of transcendental, blissful footsteps of the Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda and all his associates. We are so fortunate. We are so fortunate. And we had such a chance in our life, not in our life, in our material existence, that you know, if we just understand the bliss of that, we will start crying and we will never go back in our old habits or everything else. But to be able to achieve perfection, we need to be regulative. We need to be very strict with our lifestyle. Otherwise, it's very hard. As you saw, Vishwarupa's father, he just made one small mistake in mantra. You know, I heard Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj one time give one seminar. He was talking about what does it mean, the proper chanting of mantras during yagya and all these different things. The pronunciation is very important. You change one letter just, the mantra doesn't have same effect as it will have if you talk on original way. You know, if you just change one slog that is going a little bit longer, still it's not the same meaning. It's completely different meaning. So, same is with our life, spiritual life. We need to be very strict. We should not allow any compromise. We should not allow compromise in the lives. I want to share with you one thing. The other day, I had one devotee friend of me that I'm still in touch from my country, from Serbia, and we spoke on the Skype, and he was telling me, what is all this? I'm already 20 some years in Krishna consciousness, and this story about onion and garlic that we cannot eat at all. I heard that actually some of them is using a lot of the medicine and so many different things. And he was ready to start making in his life some compromise, right? Because even in Ajurveda, he heard that sometime they're putting either onion or garlic, I don't remember, but in certain things. So he was telling, actually I heard many people, doctors are saying it's very healthy. And I never didn't heard he's telling the Srila Prabhupada said why we should not eat onion and garlic. Then, you know, I heard few things, but I didn't want to speculate. You know, so I really made research, and I found that story that I heard many years ago. You can find it in Harishari's diary, Harishari Prabhu's diary, where Srila Prabhupada gave the whole story, why we should not eat onion and garlic. It's just one example, but I think it's very useful, interesting story for all. Many of you probably knows that story, but it would be nice that we repeat one more time. So Srila Prabhupada was visiting India, and then he came with two of his servants to one family, a very rich family who were in food production actually. They produced the food, and that was their business, and they want to host Srila Prabhupada. They had the man, he has three sons and three wives, they were all in family business, very rich, and in that time in 70s to have swimming pool in the house, it was really opulence, and they had it. You know, it was one of the richest houses in the region. So Srila Prabhupada went there, and Srila Prabhupada usually when he's going in, as a guest in different rich families, he was always asking them to cook something for him, to serve him, and to give them blessings, and you know, then they have, actually if they don't cook for you, it's kind of offense, right? So he didn't want to offend them. So when the senior man in the house, the father, he asked, can we cook something for you, Maharaj? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, please cook nice lunch for me, because they were all vegetarians. But then Srila Prabhupada said, please don't put any onion and garlic inside. And then, you know, because the man was also very intelligent and he didn't know everything, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you please explain this about onion and garlic? We don't understand very well. And then Srila Prabhupada told him a story. He was saying that that for Muslims the slaughtering cows is a very regular service, very regular thing, and it's kind of part of life. They have that kind of beliefs, and you know, killing the cow is not offense according to their religion. So just a second, the particular king, there was a Muslim king actually, and who was very smart, very intelligent, and before slaughtering the cows, he was always calling one Hindu Brahmana to make some mantras and to explain the cows actually how the people who were slaughtering them, they will be slaughtered by them in the next life. You know, the karma kand, karma is coming back. So, one time a Brahmana came there, but he felt lusty. I'm going to read it, I don't miss some part. And he wanted to eat the cow's flesh also. You know, when you're in association with such low-class personalities, sometimes you just accept there. Maybe they're not low-class personalities, but low-class habits. Sometimes you accept some of the habits or you want to try the same things. Same like a nightlife. Even the best quality devotees, if they have association of some people who are going nighttime, they're doing nonsense, they one moment they will like to try. Okay, let me just go one night to see how it's going on. So this Brahmana, he developed attraction towards cow meat. He wanted to see what is so much pleasure into eating that cow meat. And then, after the Muslim had all, just a second, he was supposed to offer his prayers and then leave. But he hid in the corner because he wanted to see and to check and to wait for some meat and witness the butchering. After the Muslims has all taken their share of the dead cow and departed, the Brahmana came to the spot and he found the ankle of the cow. Because he was not supposed to eat any meat, he took the cow's ankle into the forest and buried it with the plan that he would return in the middle of night, cook it and eat it, that nobody can see. When he came back, he dug out the cow's ankle and found on his great surprise that it had turned into onion and garlic. Harida said that Prabhupada told the Mahotras, that family, that the cow's hoof transformed into garlic, and the ankle became onion. Garlic looks like cow's hoof, and just as the cow's ankle has several layers of flesh, similarly the onion has several layers and is the color of flesh. He finished the narration by telling them that when you eat garlic, it makes a bad smell come in your mouth, and when you cut onion, it makes tears come out of your eyes. The tears come because the cows was crying, that in Kali Yuga, even the Brahmanas wants to eat onion. Crying that in the Kali Yuga, even the Brahmanas wants to eat onion. The family loved the story and they promised not to serve any onions and garlic. Actually, in the beginning of the story, Srila Prabhupada told them that eating onion and garlic is not different than eating the cow meat. And they were really, really surprised by that, and they was like, wow. And then they wanted to hear the story. So, you see, for us, sometimes maybe something doesn't look like a big deal. It's not, okay, let's make some compromise here and there. I mean, come on, we are in the Calcutta or this and that, and people are cooking, they're really trying to do vegetarian, but a little bit onion and garlic is not a big deal. But we have to be very careful. We have to be, because we don't know, sometimes we don't have knowledge for certain things. Sometimes we can make unconscious offense, some mistakes that for us looks very innocent, but it could have a huge, huge strike to our spiritual life and our spiritual knowledge. Therefore, you know, I'm always that we have to be a little bit more strict with things and a little bit more careful, because if we start falling down, it will not affect just us and our life. It will affect all our friends, relatives, all souls which are in our environment. And that's obligation. That's obligation. Each and every one of us supposed to become the student and a teacher. Two things. Each one of us supposed to have authority from whom he's teaching. Each one of us supposed to have also somebody that he's sharing that knowledge. It's not that we all should become the initiated spiritual masters or something like that, but the point is that knowledge in original form, how it's given to us, we can always share free of karma. You know, that's why when we are giving interpretation of the knowledge, we need to be very careful that it's spreading into regional form without any spicy from our side or side of people who are presenting to us. And therefore, you know, we have to follow examples of the previous acharyas. Anytime when we approach the altar, anytime we approach Krishna, anytime when we want to do some service for Krishna, anytime even we want to chant our rounds, because holy name is not different than Krishna, we need to praise Krishna first. We need to offer our prayers, we need to offer our humble obeisances. This is the right way to approach the Lord. Not just, hey, give me five, okay, how are you today? That's not the way. This is not our real rasa with the Lord. We need to develop a respect to be able to achieve perfection of the life. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Do you have any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you
for mentioning
much.
This. Krishna is the same in happiness and distress. It's a wonderful point I like. And second one is we should not compromise in our life, our principles.
Yes.
So I was also reading this pastimes. So somewhere I stuck with the characters of a Vishwarupa. It said Vishwarupa having three heads.
Yes.
So one is for the food, and second is for the somras. And third is for the wine.
Wine, yes.
So I was confused a little bit. How can you clarify why he was a Brahmana? So what did he do with the wine?
Yeah.
Head, like?
You see, Vishwarupa was a Brahmana. He was a Brahmana, but from his mother's side, actually, she is originally from the demons' family, right? And that's why he also started worshipping demons. He was worshipping, he was doing yagya, but on the end of yagya, always secretly he was putting some integrity, which usually you don't do, just to worship the demons. And that was the main reason why Indra killed him. And he finds out that he's worshipping demons also. That was a very serious thing for him, and he wanted to kill him. So since even if you're trying to be pure, we have all the impurities from, you know, from descendants, from the family, from the previous generations and everything. That's why, for example, the white people, they're going less than Mlechas and Avanas. We are born in the West, you know, we're coming from the families of meat eaters, from very low levels of the life. Although everybody's telling that America is the biggest civilization, biggest progress, biggest thing. What we call civilization? Computers or gadgets, you know, and super control, putting chips under the skin. If that's civilization, then what is not civilization? So, you know, it is civilization, but it's very demoniac civilization. So sometimes, unless you're not really determined, it's very hard, and you really want to clean one part of your personality, it remains there, and it taking you piece by piece. So he was, you know, he was not careful, and he started worshipping the demons, and automatically, you know, he had that ability to break the principles also. So yes, he had three heads. One head, he was drinking samarasa. We all know what is samarasa, right? The other head, he drink wine, you know? And the third head, you know, he was... what was the third head? He was...
Food items.
Yes, food. He was taking food, right? Because you cannot drink and eat in the same time. So Indra, he cut all three heads, you know, but still, you know, he was Brahmana. He was Brahmana. He was doing yagyas. He was actually one of the main priests for demigods in that time. That was very high position, you know. And I don't know really if they were informed that he's drinking wine or not, but you see, for the kshatriyas also in that time, many things were allowed also, and maybe that was part of the culture or something like that. In any case, the point is ultimately everything went in good direction, and all of them, they got benefit out of this lila, you know. On the end, everything went perfect because Narayan was involved. If Narayan was not involved, if they didn't approach Narayan, the whole mess could happen with the whole universe, you know. That's kind of serious thing to happen. You know, sometime in our life also, when we have a problem, we have a trouble, or something happening around us in our city or here or there, which we don't understand. Why Krishna allowed this and that? Why allow this kind of people to do this kind of nonsense? We don't see really the higher reason of that. We just see the consequence. We see the outside reflection of that, what's going on. But we don't see the deeper reason. Because Krishna always can see things from all different angles. He's only one who can conquer the time. Nobody can conquer the time. If somebody's telling I'm God, tell him, okay, can you conquer time? Show me you can conquer the time, then you will prove me that you're God. Krishna, when time sees Krishna, she's afraid. She's stepping back. Because he's above. He's the creator of time. So the point is that we just need to believe. We are very small to understand. But we can develop a very huge belief. That's our advantage. Sometimes we are using parts that it's not our strength, actually. Trying to figure out is not our strength. Especially not in Kali Yuga. We cannot figure out many things. We can figure out few small things here and there. We can try to put few strings from Srimad Bhagavatam together, from Bhagavad Gita. But we cannot figure out even 0.01% of really absolute truth. But we can develop a huge belief. We can develop a, and then our understanding could grow once we develop devotion. Then we start understanding better and better. Through material speculation, we cannot understand the spiritual knowledge. But through, you know, gaining and implementing that in our life, then the real understanding is coming up in the potion. So, yeah, I don't understand also completely, you know, everything, but what I read, I just try to share with you. Thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu.
Lord.
Vishwarupa is the Brahmana in the heavenly planets.
Yes.
Not here, so yes. These rules which are applying here, they don't apply there.
They don't apply there, it's different. So. It's much higher, and it's very hard for us to, you know, to understand, yeah. Anyway, I need to move on. At 9 o'clock, I'm leaving Krishnagar to meet DM. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, brother. With your mercy, thanks.